Morning, church. Everybody awake after all those announcements? That was like an infomercial that just kept going on, and I couldn't go get iced tea during it. But anyways, we're so glad you're here. Some good information there, and we hope that you really take that to heart. Well, our guest speaker today, why Jerry's in Haiti, is a good friend of our ministry. As a matter of fact, he was senior pastor here for 9 years. He's now in Ellsworth, Pastor Rockwell. For years, I've just known him as Rocky, and I often thought, with a name like Rocky, man, when I came into the pulpit, I'd have bum 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 bum, you know, or Eye of the Tiger, you know. Wouldn't that pump you up, get you ready to preach? With a name like Pencil, all I get is, you got the sharpest pencil in town. Just not the same, trust me. Will you please give a warm welcome today, a good friend of ours? This is Rocky, everybody.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I used to do those stairs just for fun and have that music playing. Not so much anymore. No. So, I'm now officially a card-carrying Medicare recipient. So I get a lot of liberty being able to say, you give me just a minute and I'll get my notes together and my act together and all my geriatric things out of the way. I proudly am turning 69 this fall, and I do not, my wife tells me, honey, you don't look a day over 68. She's always gracious that way, and I really appreciate it. But let me see, I haven't lost any of that. Well, I have really, but all right. Welcome today. Little update. What time is it? Oh yeah, we got like an hour and a half. Number one, and even if you're not going to use these notes, I'm a very sensitive person, and I get my feelings hurt. Really, don't I, Pencil? Very sensitive. So even if you're not going to follow along, if you're just going to have a nap, as a matter of fact, if you can have a good nap, go ahead. But it just to make me feel good, take these notes out in the bulletin. Do you have them all in there, the notes in there? Just wave them at me, and you'll get your exercise. See? And another thing it does, you can quit waving, I'll continue to wave. But for those of you that didn't wave, it showed how much you need this sermon today. Is that how you make friends, Pencil? And see, I wanted to bring myself closer to you in a loving way. So that's probably not the way to do it. But seriously, so that we're all on the same page when it comes to an English translation and what have you, it's good to have that. You can follow right along with the scriptures if you would, and I would appreciate it. One other thing, one more piece of business before we move on, is to clarify something about that apparently the staff is not up on, and I am. Do you think Pastor Mick is doing a missions thing in Haiti? I just talked to the guy. He's on the beach down here in Florida. He's at a resort. What are you thinking? Is this recorded? Oh, yeah. No, seriously, he is serving the Lord faithfully. No, he is down in Haiti. God bless him for it. All right, there. I'm going to get my dig in there. Notice the title of the sermon today, How Do I Move Closer to God? It could be that you're not as close as you'd like to be, or should be, or could be. I'm not a legalistic guy, I don't think. I don't try to be over the top when it comes to hyper-Christianity, whatever that would be. But on a personal level, I like knowing that, or like sensing that day to day, my old sinful self is borne along by the grace and goodness of God, and that I have a relationship with Him, and that I am spiritually in tune with Him. Today's sermon would be for those of you that claim to know Christ as Savior. You believe you have Christ in your heart. You're trying to serve Him, wanting to serve Him. If you're here today and you do not know Christ, this might not mean a thing to you, but I pray that through the number of thoughts we're going to share with you in the next few minutes, I pray that through here, something is going to hit home with you. And it's going to be something different for different people. Different thing will hit some, one thing will hit one person one way, something another. But my prayer is that before you leave today, you can say, I heard from the Lord through His Word and by the Holy Spirit and by the thoughts that we're bringing, and that your spiritual walk with the Lord will be richer, will be enhanced, you'll be encouraged to live for Him. If you don't know Christ, there will be an opportunity at the end of the service to open your heart and your life to Him and say, God, come into my life. I want to spend eternity with you. I mean, really, who would want to go to hell for all their lives? It seems like the best option to me. Receive Christ. And I pray you'll do that. If you need spiritual help, people will be right here available to help you with that. And I would say, don't leave today without knowing Him. But for the rest of the gang here, those of you that know Christ, let me see if we can't encourage you in having a closer walk with the Lord, or to move over there, move over on the bench a little closer to Him. What do you say? How can we do that, Pastor? Well, we can start with prayer, and then we'll give you a few guidelines, okay? Join me in prayer. Our Father and our God, I ask and I pray your blessing upon our thoughts today. Lord, because they are drawn from Scripture, and they're drawn from life experience, and they've been put together, we believe, under the guidance of your Holy Spirit. And so take these thoughts today in this moment in time that we have right here and address these thoughts as you desire to each and every heart. And might we be better for having spent this time together here in the house of God this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, over the course of years, and it's been... my wife and I made a commitment to Christ in 1973 while we were living down here in Forest Avenue, Bangor, and newly married. And we knew from our upbringing and from the conviction that was within us that we needed to commit our lives to Christ. And we did. Started attending church. My parents were attending church here. And in the second Sunday of April, 1973, found ourselves right over here to my left, your right, about a third of the way back. And we stayed there till I went to Bible college. I mean, we never left the building. No, but it was right over there, the old yellow pews and red carpet. And it really is not conducive for having lunch afterwards, that's what it was in the day. And I'll tell you what, though, had a rich, rich foundation for the Christian walk through the teaching of the Word of God, went on to Bible college, back to Maine, and I don't know, 35 years later, here we are. Had the privilege of being with your pastor, Pastor Jerry Mick. We didn't know it at the time, but we had sit in some of the same classes at Baptist Bible College, and of course, we didn't know each other then, but on my coming here in 1988, is that Medicare kicking in? July of 88, came here, and one of the first people I met, somebody that was aiding and helping in the rebuilding of Bangor Christian Schools, was Jerry Mack. And we became dear friends, and a pastor never had a more loyal, faithful, hardworking guy. Couldn't have had anybody better than Jerry Mack. And little did I know, 9 years later, I'd be heading to Ellsworth. That's where I've been for these 21 years. I bring those years up in that time because a lot of stuff can happen through the years. And I'm shocked. I really am at times. I'm like, what happened? What happened? 1973? That's like, wasn't the flood right like then? Noah's flood or something? I mean, that's a long time ago. And yet it seems like, here we are. Life goes quick. It's but a vapor that appears for a little time. Whew, vanishes away. But boy, through that time, you can experience a lot of good times and a lot of challenging times. A lot of challenging times. If your faith is not strong, your focus is not right, your commitment of heart is not there, it can knock you out of the game spiritually. I want to encourage you with that. So what do we do, preacher? Number one, assess your present situation. Assess your present situation. Where are you at right now with your walk with the Lord? I see the psalmist writing here in Psalm 42. This was a time when King David, having had quite a ministry himself, didn't he, through the years, he suffered his sin, paid some dear price because of his sin, but he'd had a tremendous time of being king over Israel. His latter years, though, when it's time to transition, and wanted his son Solomon to be the next king of Israel. And yet one of his other sons thought he should be king. And he made a run on the throne, got a big following, threatened his father and the present kingdom, and to the point where David left the kingdom, left Jerusalem. And his followers went with him, and they journeyed north, up into northern Israel. And we pick up the reading of what David, I believe, was going through at that time. David said this at that time of, it had to be bewildering, discouraging, disappointing. What comes next? And he said this, "As the deer longs for the streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before him? Day and night, I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, 'Well, where is this God of yours?' My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be." Yeah. "I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of great celebration." I remember the happier times, the exciting times when Sabbath would come and we'd be out there going to go to worship. And they had those great Levitical choirs that would sing, and all the music and the excitement of worshiping God and having enjoyed many victories. He was recalling that, looking back on that. And now, there's discouragement. There's heartbroken. And it can hit any of us. Sickness can enter your life and knock you out. Cause you to wonder, boy, does God love me? Why is this happening in my life? A death can enter the family. It could be the death of a loved one. Or things happen like that just take months of recovery. And some things hit some folk harder than others. But boy, when it hits you, and you might have, "I'm strong in the Lord, I love Jesus, and I can't understand why everybody else isn't all excited about this Jesus thing like I am." And then something hits you, and you're knocked out. Speaking of Rocky, you're knocked out. Now you're challenged. Now you're discouraged. And you enter that time where there's a numbness to it. Does God love me? What's he doing? Why is he allowing this? Is there a God? Some ask. Why would he do such things? Illness can hit. Death can hit. Sin. We're all sinners. I mean, if you haven't noticed, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner, everyone's a sinner too. Sin entered the world and death but sin. Because, by the way, let's review. How many have sinned? All right. Does that make you feel better? You're sitting there this morning, maybe. I got this sin. Some of them, though, can get a hold of your life, a bad habit, an addiction of some kind. You get into that, and now it controls you. That's the trick, is not allowing the sin to control your life. You're going to sin. Matter of fact, when you leave here today, just go out and just sin a little. Get it ready to your system, and then go on and have lunch. I didn't really mean that, and I want that on record. But I'll tell you, you get into some addiction and get in a bad place in a sin in your life, and today with the internet and the pornographic addictions and the alcohol and the drugs and the insanity of what culture in general is doing, in my humble opinion, you know. All right, let's just talk just for a second. We'll meddle a little bit. Little. But I, on a personal level, I look at government and state of Maine, which I love. I look around me and I think, man, what's wrong with us? We've got a great addiction to gambling. Oh, okay. Let's legalize it. Yeah, and let's build casinos all over the state of Maine. It's like, where's your thinking? I don't know. It's just me. You know? Drug addiction. Throw it our country. Let's legalize it. Yeah. That makes sense. And I know there's arguments. I'm not here. I'm not in depth on the arguments. I'm preaching. Listen. Stuff's crazy out there. I'm just saying, you get caught in these addictions, they are going to challenge your walk with God in a big way. And you know what the options are then? You're really going to have to fight. And if you don't, you either end up maybe coming in once or twice to church to get that check mark off or the religion thing off your list for the month, or you end up quitting. I've seen a lot of that. Well, Helen Keller said, it's a terrible thing to see and have no vision. It's a terrible thing to see, have no vision. Number two, adjust your focus. I would encourage you, as you review your present situation. I don't know. You don't know my personal life. I'm not going to tell you. And I don't want to know yours. That's your life. But where are you at today? Well, I would say, if needed, adjust your focus. Let's get looking at this thing correctly about what we need to do. I said about what we need to do. Or if it's in particular to you with a particular a challenge in your life right now that seems to be dragging you away from the Lord, then you need to get your focus clear. What can I do, preacher? I've been asking God, please make this thing better. But notice what David said here in Psalm 42, verse 5. He said, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? And notice the next two words. By the way, what are the next two words? I will. I'll put my hope in God. Then notice it again. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. When David was discouraged, it was tough times, but he said, I'm discouraged, I'm sad, but I will. I'm going to continue to worship him. I'm going to continue to serve him. I'm going to put my hope in God. Because, folks, what's the options? What are the options? What are the options? I'm telling you, as an old geezer now, life goes by pretty quick. And when we stand before him one day, and we all will, and every knee will bow and all that, when that happens, what then? What'd you do with your life?
Well, Lord, I'll tell you. Had that thing hit me. Rocky hit me. I got knocked out of the game, so I quit.
Real? Son, well done. No. David said there is personal responsibility here. Don't mean to be too cruel, but isn't that what it says? David said, I'm discouraged, I'm sad, but look at it again. Then he said, I will. Human responsibility. I will. What are you going to do this morning? I will what? Zig Ziglar said, your attitude, not your aptitude, will determine your altitude. I like that. Wish I'd thought of it.
Good going, Zig.
Number two, another one. Thomas Jefferson. Nothing can stop the man or the person with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the person, the man, nothing can help the person with a wrong mental attitude. David, though he was discouraged and said he had a right mental attitude, I will. So you see already, one, assess your situation, frame a good attitude, whatever it takes, God, I will. I'm discouraged, I'm about ready to quit, tired of it, but I will. Number three, honestly examine your personal worship. Good one to start with. Honestly examine your personal worship. Zechariah was one of the last prophets in the Old Testament, as you know. And Israel, the nation of Israel, had strayed from God, had gotten off into idolatry, violated God's law extensively. And God had kept warning them through the prophets and said, if you do not stop, I'm going to send you into captivity. You're going to be disciplined for not worshiping me fully. So idolatry continued to take over the very religious nation of Israel, and God allowed the Assyrians and the Babylonians for them to be carried off into captivity. For many decades they were captive. Other prophets were writing at that time. They're allowed to come back into the promised land, and back they came. And they rebuild the city under Ezra and Nehemiah. As you read your Old Testament, Ezra and Nehemiah, how they came back, they rebuilt the temple, they were rebuilding the walls, reestablishing themselves back in the land, and God is blessing them, allowing them to return. Years later, Zechariah writes, and you would think, wow, these people having been in captivity are now able to come back, and they're able to have the temple as it is, and living back in their own land. They must be so grateful. They must be on fire for God. Notice what Zechariah writes in Zechariah 7, verse 4. The Lord of heaven's army sent me this message in reply. Say to all your people and your priests, during these 70 years of exile, when you fasted and mourned in the summer and in the early autumn, catch this, was it really for me that you were fasting? And even now that you've been returned back into the land, I've blessed you, I've rescued you, I've given you another chance. He said, even now, in your holy festivals, aren't you eating and drinking just to please yourselves? Wow, that is sobering. And I would say this morning, folks, take a moment to examine yourself. Do a self-examination. Say, what's my motive? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Do I have a true passion for Christ? Or am I just playing religion? Am I here because they got a great kids ministry? Am I here because Jerry brings in these phenomenal speakers? That might not be it. Number four, confess and correct ethical failings. Confess and correct ethical failings. The psalmist cried out, David cried out, Psalm 139, 23 and 24, search me, O God, and know my heart. So I would ask you, take a moment right now, and I'm not joking about it at all. Take a moment right now. Now, if you're really going to mean it, woo, man, look out. Okay, Lord, right now, examine my life, and by your Spirit, I sincerely asked that by the indwelling Spirit of God that lives within me, you would bring up and reveal to me very clearly areas in my life where I am failing you. That's not a very sobering prayer, is it? But if you really want to slide over closer to the Lord, I would say confess and correct ethical failings in your life. The great part about it, he's always there in his grace and mercy to welcome you back. He wants you back in his care. He wants that relationship with you so badly, and he will confess. You say, but preacher, you don't know what I've done. No, I don't know what you've done, but I know what goes on in culture and society. Seen some pretty wild stuff. Fortunately, I've never had to experience it being a person of sinless perfection myself. I'm one of the burly birds. I took my Scientology courses, and I've gone on to the upper levels, and I'm all set now. And I'm very humble about it. No, of course, we're all sinners. We're all sinners. But I'm here to tell you, don't allow your flesh to convince you, Christian, true child of God, don't allow Satan, your old flesh, to convince you that God doesn't love you and wants to forget. He died on the cross for your sins. Man. The divine Son of God went through all of that. So they say, okay, yeah, I'm tired of you. He never gets tired of you. He loves you, and he loves me. Boy, am I glad that he does. Am I glad that he does. Number five, involve yourself in Christian service. You say, preacher, what are you doing, running the volunteer program for the church or what? Did Mick set you up, Dr. Mick? Did he bring you in to do this? He just wants you to get people to do nursery. Well, he does, but that's another story. I mean, I listen to the announcements too. But I would say involve yourself in Christian service. I have learned this. I've learned this. People really that are committed to your church, they're involved and engaged. Folks that are coming just to give me something. You know? What do you got? I need a little religion. Show your passion for Christ. If you're truly slid right over close to the Lord and you want that close relationship with Him, it will show forth in wanting to be like Him. And well, let's see what He was like. Here's what He told the disciples just before He went back to glory. Here He is ending up His earthly ministry. He's giving instruction to His disciples. And He's encouraging them with this. Look at Matthew 20, verse 26. He said, disciples, but among you, it'll be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your what? Servant. And three of you got that. Let's do that one more time, just for fun. This one's strictly for fun. There's no extra points on your scorecard. He said, whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your
servant.
Oh, doesn't that feel good? That feel good? Servant. Serve. It is the outcropping of a sincere child of God. They want to go to work. What can I do to help? Not come in and look around. What do they got? What do you got for me? Where's the coffee pot? Oh, by the way, it's back in the foyer. I've been there this morning. It's pretty good too. Having them great big sin bagel things there and sugar all over it. And I didn't need it. No, you just don't come in. And you know, God bless you. Got little children? Kids ministry here. I mean, hello. You got teenagers? You got the sharpest pencil in town. And you're blessed for it. But really, see, there's things where if I was a parent, I was coming, I said, yeah, I'm going to go there. But there should go deeper than that. If you're a true, passionate child of God, I want to serve. What now? What can I do to help? You don't have to get a letter in the mail to force march you into volunteer service. Let's go. I was so crazy back in the Vietnam era, I went and joined. Go figure that out. Now you know what's wrong with me. He joined. I mean, I could have waited for the draft. But I said, I'll fool them. I'll join. Oh, go figure. What a crazy world. All right, look at verse 27. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your what? I know that. Verse 28. For even the, oh, look here. Even the Son of Man came not to serve, but to serve others. If we are going to be Christ-like, if we're going to be slid over on the bench, close to Him, and follow Him and walk with Him, we should involve ourselves in being like Him. Christ-like means you're a servant. You have a servant's heart. Amen. Yeah. Well, involve yourself in Christian service. Look what Galatians 5:13, Paul said, look at the last part of the verse, Galatians 5:13. Use your freedom that you have in Christ to do what, folks? You tell me. Serve one another grouchy. Is that how that ends? Use your freedom to serve one another with a very bad attitude. No, do it in love. See, and I get times, this is like nine sermons I had to crunch into one. I knew I had a lot of work to do here, and I came, so not really. Look at this quote by Albert Schweitzer. He said, I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I know. The only ones among you who will be really happy are those who will have sought and found how to serve. How to serve. Number six, review your relationships. Review your relationships. Make sure they're, I'm just going to say this point, make sure they're positive ones. it says in Ecclesiastes 4, two people are better off than one. I would add, two people are better off than one. Two people are better if they're the right other. Number one, you be the proactive, positive one in the couple. But also, Christian, do your best to find positive thinking, servant-hearted, Christ-like, passionate people that want to serve the Lord. You know, don't walk in and say, okay, how many negative people here? I'd like to have some friends. Because when you hit the hard times of life, you're going to want those folk that are in the Scriptures, that know the Word, that love the Lord, and they're not going to give you worldly advice. So review your relationships. Review your relationships. I think I just give you this one of the news article that I had. Where'd that go? Give me a moment. Oh, here it is. Good. Geriatric moments are killing me. This one here, you might have saw it in the news yourself. I read this one on, talk about bad relationships. It was a family relationship, and it says that the kids wrote an obituary, a terrible obituary, about their mother. And the guy's mother died, the guy and his sister, their mother died on Thursday, and this was on, and so here's what it said. This is no joke. This is an obituary on May the 31st of this year. They wrote an obituary, and in it they put, she passed away on May 31st, 2018, in Springfield and will now face judgment. She will not be missed by Gina and Jay, and they understand that this world is a better place without her. Now, I went on to read more in depth in the article that she was not a great mother. You probably picked up on that, right? They since went online and the funeral place, they pulled that part of the article. It was so bad they had so much negative feedback. But it made me think of, boy, be a positive influence in somebody's life. And as far as having a proactive, good life of serving the Lord, have right relationships and good relationships. And they take work. Husbands and wives, it takes work. My wife and I have been married quite a few years now. And if she hears this and thinks I can't remember how many, it could come to an end. No, it's been, I think, I'm just stunned that we've been married, oh my goodness, 45 years, I think, to this day. Yeah. And she would tell you, of course, it's been easy. Living with Rocky, what a piece of cake. No, that's not the truth. Relationships are tough. But I'll tell you, good relationships of two people that love the Lord and want to serve Him go a long way in helping you staying close to the Lord. Number seven, faithfully meditate on God's Word. I'm not giving you just the, you know, take an hour, 90 minutes every morning and get yourself a Hebrew text and learn how to read Hebrew and meditate on it every morning for 90 minutes. And in the last years, I've gotten my New Living Translation. I like that one. I do it in my devotions every morning in an easy read. Love it. Matter of fact, it's an NLT study Bible that I use on my iPad. And for me, after all these decades, my daily devotional life for me is just enriched in that I love that read and good read. Just take a portion of Scripture every day. Right now I'm in 1 Kings, coming up through the Old Testament. The Bible is available. It's on my cell phone. I got like, I don't know how many like you do, 30 or 40 different English translations. We have no excuse, right? Pick one. But pick one. And if you want to stay close to Him or get close to Him, you should encourage yourself to get into the Word. You'd say, well, I don't feel like it. I didn't ask what your feelings were. Your feelings get you in trouble. David said, did he not? I will. Amen. Appreciate that. The mouths of babes. Faithfully meditate in God's word. Look at Joshua 1:8. Study this book of instruction continually. What's the next word tell you to do? I'm a Roosty County boy, and I was raised picking taters and working in the tater fields growing up in Roosty County. We'd watch the farmers go out every spring. They get the harrow out, and they go through and the plows, and they would go through the soil and turn it over and preparing it to receive the seed. And that's what this meditation is about, taking the word every day, faithfully when you feel like it and you don't feel like it, but every day, faithful in the word, turn over that soil of the word and let God plant into your life something that I bet if you do it with a good attitude, you'll find before the day's out, the Lord will use that in your life. Get close to Him. Get close to Him. Number 8, be thankful. Boy, life can be tough, as I said, and I've had my share of challenges through life. Rough times. But I'm thankful that at the lowest ebb, at the toughest time, because of that consistency, the Lord was always there. When I'm weak and wobbly and messed up and crazy thinking, He never quits. At times when I would want to quit on Him, He'll never quit Him. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So who moved on the bench? And he said here, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, verse 18 says, be thankful in all circumstances. Be thankful that God still loves you and He's talking to you today and He's saying, slide back over here on the bench. Incorporate these things into your life. Number 9, lastly. Can't emphasize it enough. I haven't reached the end yet. Prayerfully, it's a good distance out in the future. I pray that it is. But I pray that this final point, that I'm able to say, I never quit. Never, ever, ever quit. Never quit. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you feel like quitting. It'd be a big, huge mistake. Don't do it. Don't do it. Well, preacher, I've got this sin in my life. It's consuming me. Get some help. If you're there where it's an addiction, you're going to have to get help. You know what? This ministry has help for about everything going, really. Practical help. There's no excuse. I will. Never quit. Never, 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 never quit. Peter said in 2 Peter 1, in verse 6, he added to your Christian walk, patient endurance, right there in the middle of that text. Patient endurance. Patient endurance. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. I close with this thought. When I think about walking with the Lord, I want this, and I have prayed it through the years. Numbers of times, the 9 years I would hear, I can remember, back before I ever showed up here, and the years I've been gone, time and again, I would pray this, oh Lord, You indwell me by Your Holy Spirit. Please don't ever quit convicting me of sin. Don't ever quit pulling at my heart to stay true to You. Pray that prayer this morning and mean it. And then take some proactive steps to say, boy, I have been drifting, but I needed a little spiritual kick in the pants. And I'm God, forgive me. I want back with You. I want to serve You. I want to serve You. I want to serve You. And I'll tell you why, and we're done. Jesus Christ, my Savior and your Savior, who loved us and gave His life for us, literally was a servant, was God come in human form, served us, came down to the end of His life and took a beating, took rejection of those around Him, ended up, if you please, alone on a cross, bloodied, beating, and dying there for you and for me. That's why I say don't quit. He never quit on you, and He never will. Don't quit on Him. Don't quit on Him. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning, if you would, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. as the music folk come and Jess comes to close with a song, I just encourage you, my friend, that there can be a lot that needs to be talked about and worked through in overcoming challenges of life. I understand that, and this is only one sermon. This is just a motivator to maybe have you pause and say, boy, I got to take a look here. I've got to make some changes. That's all we're saying. Make those changes. But you can start this morning. As I said, if you need Christ as Savior, there's folk right here at the front of the church in these next couple, 3, 4, or 5 minutes. They'll help you. You can come down anytime, get some help, spiritual help. How to receive Christ, be sure of heaven. Child of God, there's help for you. There's help for you. Say to yourself, I will get that help. I'm not going to go on continuing to live sitting on the other end of the bench from the Lord. I'm going to slide over on the bench, get close to Him. Let's do that. Let's make that commitment this morning. What do you say? Our Father and our God, thank you for these moments this morning. Blessings, 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 I pray, on every person gathered in here today. Might this be a time of examination, self-examination, and recommitment to you. Help each one, we pray, in that task. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Your love has ravished my heart and taken me over, taken me over. And all I want is to be with you forever, with you forever. Pull me a little closer, take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart. Cause your love is so much sweeter than anything I've tasted. I want to know your heart, I want to know your heart. want to know your heart, because your love is so much stronger than anything I faced. And I want to know your heart.
Will you stand with me? Thank you so very much for that. Thank you, Rocky. What a great message today. As we get ready to leave, take a look around you. Where are you on that park bench? Have you slid away from God? I challenge you today to slide just a little bit closer. As we get ready to go, I want to remind you, if you're a businessman or a businesswoman and you'd like to take some of these posters and put them up for Magic in the Park, we'd appreciate it so very, very much. I also have smaller ones. We need some folks to be able to hand them out in our community, do some canvassing with them. And also, we still need lots and lots of volunteers for Magic in the Park. See Pastor Gary or get on those kiosks, and you can start bringing in stuff as well. On Sunday mornings, just come in. We'll have an area mapped off for you, and you can drop your stuff off. We need lots and lots of stuff for Magic in the Park. It is rapidly approaching, less than a month away now. Let's close. Father God, we thank you for your love for us today. And Jesus, we thank you that you faithfully are sitting there asking us to draw closer to you. Father, help us to be obedient to you today. And God, may Bangor be different because we slid a little closer on the bench toward our Creator, our Redeemer, and our friend. We ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, God bless you. We love you. Have a terrific Sunday. We'll see you next week.
Thank you so much for tuning in.